But you know, a lot of people talk about happiness, and you know, I've often said that we may not always be happy, but we always have joy. But you know, many times happiness and joy are used interchangeably in Scripture, and I would say God does want us to be happy. But I would say not fake. There's, you know, you watching people, and you do this. You know, there's people that, they can put on that cheesy smile, and you know their heart's not in it. It's like, how you doing? It's just like, I call it the shark smile. And just in the giggle, you and you know, then you talk to them afterwards, and they're in the depths of sorrow, or really struggling with a relationship, or so you know, you wonder. Yeah, I'm going to just talk for a few minutes, and then we'll get into the passages. Does God want us to always smile? I know raising my children, they'd be fighting, you know, arguing, and I'd say, stop. Now you smile each other, at each other, give each other a hug. And I'd say to Andrew and Jono, now kiss each other on the lips and make up. And Dad! I said, okay, you don't need to do that. But, smile, give each other a hug, say you're sorry, say I love you. Smile. And you know, you get the gritty smile. And you see little children with the pictures, you know, the family pictures. You see the smile, the fake smile. Smile, kid, or I'll smack you. You know. And that's, that picture lives on in infamy. You know, it's just like, you see that 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, if the Lord tarries, and you'll see that. And then they'll be embarrassed at that. But, I've often asked people, what's your goal in life? What do you want to do? And it was for a while the popular thing to say, well, living the dream. I just want to live the dream. And I always follow up with that. Well, what's that? What's your dream? It really throws them. Well, one fellow that every year I see him, a good guy, loves the Lord, but he's an attorney, and I always ask him, how you doing? I was living the dream. I said, what dream? He says, the dream to be happy in Jesus. I like that. God does want us happy. He wants us to have the joy of the Lord as well. And even though I may not be happy at a funeral, inwardly I can have the joy of the Lord. But you know, God does talk about happiness. It is a biblical word, happiness. So what is happiness? What is it? Well, a lot of answers to that. The other question I would say, where do you find happiness? Well, let me just make some comments. You don't find it in unbelief. Voltaire, he was a God-hater, an infidel, very popular man, he wrote, I wish I'd never been born. He's not a very happy guy. You don't find happiness and pleasure. A very wealthy, successful man, Lord Byron was his name. He lived a life of pleasure, and he wrote at the end of his life, the worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone. You don't have you don't find happiness in money. Jay Gould, he's a multimillionaire. When he was dying, he says, I suppose I'm the most miserable man on the earth. So, you know, you're not going to find happiness in money. You don't have happiness in position. You don't find it in fame. A man by the name of Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of happiness in position and fame. But he wrote this. He wrote at the end, he said, youth is a mistake. Manhood is a struggle. Old age is a regret. And one other, you're not going to find happiness in military glory or military might or strength. Alexander the Great, conquered the known world in his day. And after he did that, he wept in his tent as he said, there's no more worlds to conquer. A very, very depressed man. Not only that, but a drunk. So where is happiness found? Where is it found? Well, the simple answer is happiness is found in a relationship with Christ, which manifests a relationship to the Word of God. Or happiness. What is happiness? Or having or showing or causing a feeling of great pleasure and contentment and having great joy. Actually, the word happiness actually means blessed, contented, joyful. So you see, joyful and happiness go hand in hand. Father, we do pray that you would bless our time again. Give us focus now. I pray that this would make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. So do you want to experience the things that are best in your life? Do you want to live a fulfilled, satisfied life? By the way, those are good definitions of joy, of happiness. Blessed, contented, joyful. Then the first point I want to make is, wisely take charge of the significant affairs of your life. Place your complete trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Turn to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. You're going to do more writing on your note paper than normal, so get your pen out and your paper. I give you the skeleton of what we're looking at. Look at what it says, Proverbs 16:20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, what? Happy is he. Well, let's look at the first part of that verse. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. The word handleth in the Hebrew means if you take charge of, you have responsibility for a matter, you handle a matter, that's a work, an affair, something of significance. If you handle it wisely, that's prudently with insight, you'll find good. The thought is you'll take hold of good. You'll discover, you'll experience good. And the word good there means something that's precious, ready, and sweet. So the thought of this verse is if a man will wisely take charge of the significant affairs in his life, he will experience that which is precious, ready, and sweet. Now, look at the next part of the verse. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, here it is, happy is he. So what's your goal in life? Well, to be happy. Well, you got to trust God to be happy. That word trusteth in the Lord carries the idea of putting all of your confidence in the Lord. It means having all of your security in Jehovah God. It's a firm reliance on the character of God. It's a total falling into completely into the very arms of Jesus, resting totally, completely. Hear this. In the knowledge that God is in control. If you and I can do that, God says, happy is he. Fulfilled, gratified, satisfied, in good spirit. So you want to see a happy and fulfilled Christian? Here it is. He's the one who's placed his total confidence and firm reliance in God. He totally, completely rests in the knowledge of God. That doesn't mean he smiles all the time. Doesn't mean he giggles all the time. Doesn't mean he always has to laugh. You can be happy and not laugh. Did you know that? Right? Now, I don't think you can frown and be happy. I don't think you can pout and be happy. But you want to see a happy, fulfilled Christian, you will find a Christian who's placed his total confidence and firm reliance on God. Psalm 2, verse 12. Blessed are they that have put their trust in him. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Here it is. Blessed. That word blessed in the Hebrew means happy, fulfilled, is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed, happy, is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Psalm 84, verse 12. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed, happy, fulfilled, is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. So here's the first point. You want to be happy? You want to experience the best things that God has for you in your life? You want to have that fulfillment, satisfaction? Then wisely take charge of the significant affairs in your life. Be responsible. And place your complete trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Now, turn to Proverbs 29, verse 18. So you want happiness. Well, here's the point that we'll see. Then we must learn to openly study and obey the Word of God. Openly. And I think that's the key word. Look at Proverbs 29, 18. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, here it is, happy is he. Now, where there's no vision. You know, that makes a great verse for setting goals, except that's not what that verse means. Are you with me? That word vision there, actually comes from a Hebrew word, which means the open revelation of God's Word. Where there is no open revelation of the Word of God, the people perish. And that word perish means they're made bare, naked, or it means they're dispersed. They become ungovernable, unrestrained. But when the Word, so when the Word of God is not proclaimed, the result is spiritual nakedness and rebellion. People become unrestrained in their passion, their wickedness. Hey, by the way, consequently, where do you find your nation if they've thrown the Bible out? Naked, rebellious, unrestrained in morals and convictions. A people who are disorderly and ungovernable. I like what Woodrow Wilson, 28th president, said about the Bible. And I quote him. He says, there are a good many problems before the American people today and before me as president. But I expect to find a solution of those problems. Watch this. Just in the proportion that I am faithful to the study of the Word of God. That was President of the United States. This was the first Prime Minister of Israel, David Ben-Gurion. He said this, it's the Bible that's kept us alive all these centuries. It's the Bible that holds the greatest hope for our survival in the future. First Prime Minister of Israel. So you want to see the effect of God's Word on the people? Hey, go to the mission field and see how the scriptures, watch this, have changed the lives of cannibalistic tribes. Man-eating tribes. Interesting story is told of an agnostic college professor, a college professor who denied God. And he visited the Fiji Islands. And one day he mentioned to the elderly chief, he said, you know what, you're a great leader, but it's a pity you've been taken in by these foreign missionaries. They only want to get rich through you. No one believes the Bible anymore. And people are tired of the story of Christ dying on a cross for the sins of mankind. And they know better now. And I'm sorry you've been so foolish as to accept their story. Well, that old chief's eyes flashed as he answered. He said, you see that great rock over there? On it we smashed the heads of our victims. You see the furnace next to it? Yes. In that oven, we formerly roasted the bodies of our enemies and ate those bodies. If it hadn't been for these good missionaries and the love of Jesus that changed us cannibals into Christians, you, sir, would never leave this place alive. You better thank the Lord God for the gospel. Otherwise, we'd already be feasting on you. If it weren't for the Bible, you'd now be our supper. So where there's no vision, the people perish. I like the way Hosea said it. Hosea 4:6, my people, God says, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, you're in Proverbs 29. Look at the second part of the verse, verse 18. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That word keepeth means to attend to. Actually means to protect the word. Take heed to. Look narrowly upon the word of God. Obey it. He that keepeth the law. The law is speaking of the Bible, the word of God. Now, you can speak specifically as the first five books of the Old Testament, or you can rise above it. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, which has to do with the Bible. And God says, he that keepeth the law, happy is he, fulfilled, gratified, satisfied, having a good spirit. Happy is he. So, you want to be happy? You want to be fulfilled, satisfied in your life? Here it is. Learn to openly study the Word of God. Where there's no vision, the people perish. And learn to obey, keep the Word of God. Obey God's Word. Be bold and obedient. Now, quickly, turn to Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. You want to be happy, fulfilled, satisfied? You want to experience the things that are best in your life? Here it is, Proverbs 3. Then embrace, here's what we're going to look at. Embrace God's word as your basis of life and gain possession of the ability to make present decisions in light of future consequences. You understand all that? Don't go. Don't leave. Stick with me here. All right? Look at Proverbs 3:13. Siobhan, I'm talking to you. Not really. He's turning red. Look at Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. That's pretty plain, isn't it? If you want to be happy, find wisdom. That word find means embrace wisdom. Wisdom means having a biblical perspective. God's point of view. The practical application of the Word of God. The man who's fulfilled, satisfied, happy in his life is a man who embraces the Word of God and learns to live his life according to chapter and verse in the Bible. And so we often say, what's your worldview? What's your worldview? Well, my worldview is the authority of the Bible in my life. God's Word is my authority. Now, it also says, and the man... So also, and the man that getteth understanding. So also he's come into possession of the ability, what's understanding, to make present decisions in light of future consequences. Seeing the future consequences of present actions. Hey, why'd you do that? Don't you realize if you do that, a week from now, you'll suffer the consequences. Don't you realize that if you continue to do that, 1 year from now, you will be suffering the consequences of your present actions? Well, God's Word says, I am happy if I can make right decisions based on the knowledge of future consequences. That's understanding. You know, it's interesting to me that God says, give wisdom, but He says, with all you're getting, get understanding. You know, and by the way, where do I get that definition? It's Proverbs 28:28. A person with understanding has learned to depart from evil. He knows the consequences of sin. You know the most miserable people here tonight? The most miserable people here tonight are those who are in bondage who've never learned to stay away from sin. Consequently, they have never embraced God's perspective, God's wisdom, and they're constantly experiencing the devastating consequences as a result of disobeying the Word of God. Their lives are lived with wrong values they've placed on things like abilities and appearance and environment and parentage, and as a result, they're miserable. But the most blessed, happy people in the world are those who have gone after wisdom. happiest. And then it talks about wisdom. Look at verse 18. She is the tree of life. That's talking about wisdom or a biblical worldview. She is a tree of life. Wisdom is the tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Tree of life speaks of an abundant life. It refers to being fruitful, having a fruitful life, making your life count. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her, who grab her, grasp onto her, embrace her wisdom, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Isn't that plain? You retain, you embrace, you hold on to, you hold as precious in your life, God's perspective. God says, happy is everyone that retaineth her. You want happiness? You want your life to really count? You want something durable and lasting in your life? You say, well, yes. Seek God's point of view. Live exactly the way God wants you to live. Put Him first. The result will be the tree of life. You'll be well-rooted, stable. There'll be refreshment and happiness. Now, let's go on. Turn to Proverbs 29. You want to be happy, fulfilled, satisfied? Here it is. Here's the point. Realize that sin traps you. Realize that being right with God results in freedom. Freedom of spirit to sing and rejoice. You ever been around somebody that's just bound? They're just bound. They're trapped. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 6. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. First of all, the word transgression. In the transgression of an evil man. Transgression means rebellion, disobedience. In the transgression, disobedience, rebellion, wantonness of a man who's bad to the core, a man who doesn't know Christ, his life is lived by violation of the word and will of God. He has no desire to please God. It says, in the transgression of an evil man, there's a snare. And the word snare means there's a noose. There's a trap. He's bait and lured. His life is characterized by snares, traps. He's always in bondage to sinful things. He's bound by the chains of sin. What is it? Proverbs 10:17 says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. 1:17. Stay out of my preaching. Proverbs 1:17. Used to be my favorite verse. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. You say, well, how could that be your favorite verse? Why isn't it John 3:16? Well, I would say it's my favorite verse in the Old Testament. It may be my favorite verse in the Bible. You say, what does that mean? Well, here's a snare. Here's a trap. Here's some seed. Over it, there's a trap. It's for a bird. The bird will come hopping in, pick up the seed, and boom! Dead bird. Surely, in vain, that seed, that net is spread in the sight of any bird. So what happens? The bird flies around and then flies away. Why? Sees the net, sees the trap. In vain. Surely, bird is smart enough. He's not stupid enough to see that trap. I mean, to go under that trap. Surely, in vain, the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But he has his eye on the lure, on the bait, on the pleasure of sin that only lasts for a season. Hops toward it, flies away. Hops toward it, flies away. Hops in, takes one swallow, boom, dead bird. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. There's a lot of people that are headed toward those snares. And it says, in the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. Now, look at the opposite. But the righteous doth sing and rejoice. And the thought is, the word but carries the idea of here's the opposite. Here's the opposite of a person who's always bound. Bound people will not sing. People in bondage will not rejoice. Miserable people are people in bondage. But the righteous, the person that's righteous, the person that's right with God. New Testament means he knows the Lord and is walking in the Spirit. And that person will sing and rejoice. There's always a song in their heart. There's always a thankful spirit. Interesting comment by Moses as he's instructing Israel just about going to battle and about obtaining God's possession. Numbers 32:23 says, if you will not do so, behold, you've sinned against the Lord. If you're not going to obtain God's possession, you've sinned against God. And be sure your sin will find you out. Sin always has consequences. The Lord said to Cain, Genesis 4:7, if you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. You know, I looked up that word lieth. The word there is stretched out and lurking at your door. You ever wonder if you open the door like at 2 or 3 in the morning? If something's lurking on your front steps at your door? Have you opened the door, creak, and boom! You're dead. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. So Isaiah 59:12, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee, our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. And the thought is, we know we have sinned. We know what sins we've committed. We know we're not victims of our sin. We know we're not innocent. One writer put it this way. He says, sin follows in its results. Sin follows the sinner. Another writer says this, and listen carefully. He says it well. His name is Lawson. He says, one act of sin makes way for another act. And the second for a third. And the repetition of many sinful acts produces a settled habit, which gains an irresistible power over the soul, so that the sinner who meant to repent after he had indulged himself for a time in the pleasures of sin, what? Finds himself quite indisposed, means unwilling to put his decisions in practice. And he walks on and he trespasses till destruction comes upon him without remedy. One kind of sin prepares the way for another that's worse. Our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Because the natural effect of sin is to stupefy the understanding and harden the heart. Stupefy the understanding and harden the heart. It's just one sin, just one bite, just one taste. The bread eaten in secret, that deceitful bread eaten, turns to bitterness. Maybe this is talking about a snare in a person's spirit. So it says in the transgression of an evil man, there's a snare. But the righteous doth sing and rejoice. He has a song in his heart and a thankful spirit. You ever notice that when people are right with God, they want to sing? I mean, Ephesians 5 talks about that. Fruit of the Spirit. Person that's walking in the Spirit of God, controlled by the Holy Spirit, wants to sing. Speaks to himself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So here's the fourth point. Do you want happiness? Do you want to be fulfilled, satisfied in your life? Realize sin traps you. And realize that being right with God results in a freedom of spirit to sing and rejoice. Now here's the fifth point. Proverbs 14. Turn to Proverbs 14. Look at verse 21, Proverbs 14, verse 21. So you want happiness? You want fulfilled, satisfied in your life? Never look down your nose at another person. Always be gracious to those who have less than you do. That's pretty practical. Look at Proverbs 14:21. He that despises his neighbor sinneth. But he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. He that despises his neighbor. The word despise actually means to look down with contempt. To loathe, to abhor your neighbor. Your neighbor can be your associate, your companion, your mate, your friend, your coworker. If you look down your nose, you look at your coworker with contempt, you sin, God says. If you loathe a person, you're sinning. Most of my life, I've been able to say, and I think say today, I think I can be a friend to everyone, a companion to few. I don't hold anybody today with hatred. God knows my heart. I don't think I hate anybody. And I do believe in my heart I want to be a friend to everybody. I can't be. I know that. You know, there are some people I'm not going to be a companion to. God says you walk with wise men, you'll be wise. A companion of fools will be destroyed. But it's possible to be their friend and not their companion. So the thought is, if you loathe people, you're in violation of the word and the will of God. You're sinning. Now, in this context, a neighbor is referring to a poor person or the person that's lacking in material things. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with money. The poor person relates to someone who's needy or wretched. It may be referring to a person who has less talent than you do, less ability, less personality than you have, maybe less IQ than you have, maybe less education than you have, maybe not as good hygiene as you have, maybe they stink, maybe they don't take care of themselves. Maybe they're not as pretty or handsome as you are. Regardless, God says you despise your neighbor, you sin. But he that hath mercy on the poor, let's talk about that first. Well, it says happy is he, but what does it mean he that hath mercy on the poor? That word hath mercy means you're gracious toward those who are without. I mean, you have compassion toward people. And like Ezekiel sitting with a rebellious people, and he says, I sat where they sat. And then I understood their point of view. I understood their burden. I understood the way they are. God says, he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. If you're gracious toward those who are less, who have less than you, you will experience happiness. The thought is, if you're a person who looks down your nose at people, you're bad. You're a sinner. So stop strutting. On the other hand, if you'll be gracious toward those who have less than you do, you'll experience happiness. I was challenged in high school. And then I did this in college. I was challenged in my spirit. I don't think anybody pulled me aside and talked to me about this. I got fed up with the pretty club, the handsome club. I mean, the clique. I was an athlete. I felt I was good. The older I get, the better I was. But I was a decent athlete. And us guys hung out together. You had your cliques in the commons area. I got fed up with that. I thought, you know, I'm going to just, every day, I'm going to go to some other table, some other place that's common. Several hundred, a few thousand students. I'm going to go to one of these other tables. I'm just going to sit and get to know other people. I don't care if they look like me or whatever. I'm just going to get to know people. I'm going to make one friend a day. I went on to college. I did the same thing. I decided that every day I would meet someone new. Not every day, every week. I would go into the student union, they called it, and I would look for somebody that was lonely. And I'd sit and talk with them. What's your name? Where are you from? You know who the happiest person was? Me. Me. Okay? I wasn't all about trying to be part of the popular crowd. God did bless. I had a lot of friends. But that wasn't my goal. He that despises his neighbor, looks down his nose at people, sinneth. But he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. I think one of the most outstanding characteristics of a godly Christian is that of showing deference or dignity to all types of individuals. Looking at a drunk and say, you know what, I respect you. It's, I don't respect what you're doing, but I respect you. By the way, why do we respect the drunk? We don't respect his drunkenness. That's wicked. We respect him because he's made in the image of God. Isn't that our worldview? But you know, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. You're no better than anybody else. You're no prettier than anybody else. Well, what's God's attitude toward men? God says, honor all men, 1 Peter 2:17, love the brotherhood, fear God, watch this, honor the king. Who's our king? It's the one in political power. Our king is our president. God says we're to honor him. We don't have to agree with everything. We're to show his position honor. Amen? Well, Proverbs 11:12. This talks about people who always strut, looks down their nose at others. Proverbs 11:12 says, he that's void of wisdom, a stupid person, despises his neighbor. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. If you snub people, you lack sense. Psalm 112, verse 5. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Psalm 112, verse 9. He that he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. Proverbs 11:17. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. But he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Hey, you're new here. Yeah? Why don't you sit by me? Hey, why don't you come over to our house for dinner after church? Can I show you around? Listen, why don't you sit with us? So I notice you're new. Maybe sit with us. If you have any needs, ask me. I'll try to help you. Let me introduce you to some people. It's that spirit, I think, that God blesses. So, he that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. So, what? Never look down your nose at another person. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't look down his nose at you? He's perfect. You're not. I'm not. Always be gracious to those who have less than you have. So where's happiness found? Well, here's where it's found. In a relationship with Christ, which manifests a relationship to the Word of God. Or it's found in a Word-filled, Spirit-filled life. You're walking in the Spirit. You'll have joy, and I believe God will give you happiness. So what? Where's happiness found? Well, here it is. Again, in a relationship with Christ, which manifests a relationship to the Word of God. But number one, if you want happiness, wisely take charge of the significant affairs in your life. Place your complete trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ at His Word. Point number two, you want happiness? Learn to openly study the Scriptures, promote the scriptures, and obey the word of God. Third of all, you want happiness, you want fulfillment, satisfaction in your life? Embrace God's word as your basis of life. Gain possession of the ability to make present decisions in light of future consequences. And number four, you want happiness, fulfillment? Realize this. Sin traps. Sin traps you. Realize that being right with God results in a freedom of spirit, and you want to sing and you want to rejoice. Bound people won't sing. And number five, you want fulfillment? Satisfaction in your life? You want happiness? Never look down your nose at another person. Always be gracious to those who have less than you have. Now, take your notes. Take your note sheet. I close with this one comment, the last slide, Adam. Last slide on there. It's not on your notes. Maybe it's not on the slide. All right, it's on your sheet, though, I think. A challenging thought. Is that on there? Okay. A challenging thought. You say, what do you mean? You look at the things that we looked at tonight. What's the one challenging thought that God put on your heart? If you were to take all the truths that you heard tonight about being happy, about being fulfilled, what's the one thing that really stood out? Take a pencil. I'm going to call on you. Get ready. Write it down. I'll give you about 2 minutes. I won't embarrass you. Well, there are some people I want to embarrass, but I won't embarrass most of you. There's people that make decisions in their 50s, 60s, 70s that destroy the rest of their lives. Stupid things. They live all their life for God and make a foolish choice, and everything unravels. Okay? Yeah. King Hezekiah. All right, what's another? What's another captivating thought that grabbed you tonight? Chris? No, Mike. Just have to talk loud. Oh, good. Good. Okay. Give the mic, they still hear you online.
Well, it's kind of a two-parter. The first one is, I guess I'm not as righteous as I thought I was. And the other one is...
I'm going to do the interview here tonight. Okay, go ahead.
I just think it's a two-parter. The first one is, I'm not as righteous as I thought I was. And the other one is, there's a trap of thinking you're righteous when you compare yourself to others who you think may not be as righteous. And suddenly you have a false perception of who you are in the light of God's eyes.
That's good. Okay, Sue, and then going around to Brother Andy. And here's Sue Hawes.
I would say, trust the Lord, treasure His word, and live it out.
Trust the Lord, treasure His word, and live it out. Amen. Good. And Mickey.
A couple things I was thinking of is the last one. Never look down at others. So not having a critical spirit. And I know myself well enough to know that if I'm not in the Word enough, I will have a critical spirit. But on the flip side of that is trying to teach my children living your life in light of future consequences. And then when they say, well, what about so-and-so, saying it in a way that's not critical, but teaching them the right way.
That's really good. Amen.
I would summarize it up with know and do. Know the Word of God and do it. Yeah.
Any comment? Okay, here.
My mom's like to never think that I'm better than like the alcoholic or like the thief and stuff like
Very
that.
Very good. Very good. Or better than someone on drugs or somebody's messed their life up.
Yeah.
It's like we're no better than they are.
Yeah.
Oh, and so
also, okay, wait. Here, go ahead. Get if there's people online that need to hear you.
And to also let go of the snareful man.
Watch out for the snare of man. Yeah, that's good. I like it. All right, Jackie, yes.
I think my biggest thing is trusting in God and knowing that He's in control.
Happy is He. Amen. Joyce?
Again, the never look down your nose at another person. I know it's a struggle. One of my neighbors is on Facebook, and her political views are completely opposite mine. So it's a challenge not to get upset or offended and to want to have gracious thoughts toward her.
Good. I'm headed back. Anybody else? Okay, Siobhan.
Okay. I wrote down my challenging thought. Take charge and be responsible for your life. It's a choice. It takes doing and action. And the first verse that came to my mind was James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Very good. Amen. Mr. Lorch.
Well, mine was just looking at all of these. The thing that really stuck out to me is none of these are tied to circumstances. They're all tied to our attitude and our outlook and our relationship with God. And so even when things that we see as not great circumstances come along, we can still be happy because we have the right outlook on life through the Word of God and through our relationship with Him.
I was thinking about this today. I'd rather trust in the Lord and fail than to not trust in the Lord and succeed.
Whoa. That's good. I won't forget what Christy Lorch told us in her testimony last Wednesday night. Remember that? She works at the jail. She talked about how God gives her a song. And she listens to good, godly Christian music, and that impacts her life during the day as she sings it. And has a lot of prisoners and a lot of snares. People have been caught by a lot of snares in there and has the opportunity to minister to them. But is it possible to judge the sin and not the sinner? It's hard. God does talk about sinners. God does judge sinners, but that's God. You know? I'm to hate the sin. And people can know that. Somebody shared with me once, they said when you're talking with an individual and that person, you agree with what that person's saying, and Joyce, this has a lot to do with what you were saying. You're agreeing, you're like this, smiling. It doesn't have to, you know, you're just like this. It doesn't have to be real pronounced, but yes. And when they say something that just fringes, then you're like this. And when they say something that violates the Word of God, you're like this. Okay. You don't have to say a word. And you don't have to judge them.